to the book of Psalms, the 95th Psalm. That is page 479 in your pew Bible. Page 479, Psalm 95. And we're going to read verses 1 through 7 this morning. Page 479. So would you stand with me this morning as we read God's Word together. Let's begin in verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 7. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and the dry land which His hands have formed. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Thursday is the formal day of celebration of Thanksgiving. And today, as I begin the message, I want to share with you some interesting facts regarding Thanksgiving. The first Thanksgiving was celebrated in 1621 over a three-day harvest festival. It included 50 pilgrims, 90 Wampanoag Indians, and lasted 3 days. It is believed by historians that only 5 women were present. Turkey was not on the menu at the first Thanksgiving. Instead, they feasted on venison, duck, goose, oysters, lobster, eel, and fish, alongside pumpkins and cranberries, but not pumpkin pie or cranberry sauce. Abraham Lincoln proclaimed Thanksgiving a national holiday on October 3, 1863. Sarah Josepha Hale, the woman who wrote Mary Had a Little Lamb, convinced Lincoln to make Thanksgiving a holiday after writing letters to various presidents for over 17 years. Harry Truman is often credited with being the first president to pardon a turkey, but that is not true. He was the first to receive a ceremonial turkey from the National Turkey Federation, and he had it for dinner. John F. Kennedy was the first to let a Thanksgiving turkey go, followed by Richard Nixon, who sent his turkey to a petting zoo. George H.W. Bush is the first president who formalized the turkey pardoning tradition in 1989. There are 4 towns in the United States named Turkey. They can be found in Arizona, Texas. Can you imagine living in Turkey, Texas? Louisiana and North Carolina. Oh, for you guys, the average number of calories consumed on Thanksgiving Day is 4,500. And Butterball answers more than 100,000 turkey cooking questions via their Butterball Turkey Hotline each November. The tradition of football on Thanksgiving began in 1876 with a game between Yale and Princeton, and the University of Florida lost that game. As we saw last week, for those of us who follow Christ, Thanksgiving is not an annual day of giving thanks. Instead, it is the daily and the natural response to our God. Last Sunday, we looked at the benefits of giving thanks, and we talked about how thanksgiving is to be given thoroughly. Today, I want for us to look at the question of this: why give thanks? Why give thanks? First of all, the giving of thanks declares that I believe God is good. And that is a message today that our world desperately needs to hear. Here's just a few statistics from our nation alone. The CDC reported that in the year 2020, 3,358,800 Americans died from the following top 10 causes: heart disease, cancer, COVID-19, unintentional injuries, stroke, chronic lower respiratory disease, Alzheimer's, diabetes, influenza and pneumonia, kidney disease, and suicide. The Church of Christ around the world continues to be persecuted. According to Voice for the Martyrs, in 2020, almost 3,000 Christians died because of their faith. 1 in 9 Christians around the world today face governmental or religious persecution. In 2020, 3,711 Christians were arrested and imprisoned without trial. North Korea continues to be the most dangerous place in the world for Christians to live. And last year alone, China closed or burned 5,576 churches. Our own nation struggles with a variety of crises. Last year, 40% of U.S. adults reported that they were struggling with either mental health or substance abuse issues. 1 in 6 U.S. youth aged 6 through 17 experienced a mental disorder. In 2020, depression cost our nation $210 billion in lost wages, in hospitalizations, in pharmaceuticals. Suicide is the second leading cause of death among people aged 10 to 34 in our nation. We need good news regarding relationships, don't we? A virus and a vaccine have managed to divide families and friends. Politics. Our nation remains divided and frustrated as we continue to place our confidence in people and parties who have their own agenda. In a world that is filled with pain and suffering, Thanksgiving declares that we continue in the midst of it to believe that God is good. Psalm 33, verse 5, the psalmist wrote these words: "He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Psalm 34, verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in Him." The 100th Psalm, beginning in verse 4, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." The Old Testament prophet Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7, he wrote these words: "The Lord is good, a stronghold in a day of trouble. He protects those who take refuge in Him." The goodness of God is a steadfast anchor in a world that is filled with a variety of storms. Yesterday, sitting in Marvin and Sis's home, I told Sis something that I had read just a week or so ago that has stuck in my heart. And the writer said this: "Everything that happens is not God's will, but God's will can be found in everything that happens." Because God is good. Because God is good. That even in the things we don't understand, even in the things that catch us totally unprepared, that shock us, that surprise us, regardless of what it is, If it's hearing a diagnosis from the doctor you didn't plan on hearing. If it's getting a phone call from the school you were not expecting. If it's having your husband, your wife, walk in and tell you something that you cannot believe. If it is walking in a room and finding your spouse dead. Regardless of how dark, how unexpected, God is there. God is with us. God supports us. God sustains us because God is good. And just because bad things happen to good people, we don't say, "Oh God, why did you do this to me?" Although that is our natural response. But once we move past that place of anguish and pain and question, then we begin to see the little blessings of God that were strewn across the path even before we reached this place where we are at today. Someone said this, that we always live life looking forward, but it is in looking backwards that we see Jesus. Thanksgiving declares to a world that is filled with pain that God is still good. Secondly, Thanksgiving declares that I am thankful for all things. It requires no faith to be thankful when things are going well. But the call to be thankful, the call to give thanks, the call to thanksgiving covers every and all situations of life. Listen to the writings of Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. He says this, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 16, Paul writes and says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Paul wrote both of those letters from a Roman prison cell, in a place where he easily could have written and said, "Woe is me. Look what I'm going through. Look how hard life is. Look how Christ repays you for being faithful." And yet, in the midst of a Roman prison cell, and when he wrote 1st and then later 2nd Thessalonians, he was reaching close to the end of his life. In both of those books, he says, "Give thanks to God the Father for everything." And then he said, "Give thanks in all circumstances." Giving thanks when all is well is good and well, but it requires no faith. It's just the natural outflow. But in the storm of life, in the pains of life, in the unexpected crises of life, giving of thanks becomes an action of faith. Job, after they come and they tell Job that you've lost everything you've worked for, all of your cattle, all of your sheep, all of your servants, everything, all of your children, they're all dead, Job. This is what Job, how he responded. In verse 20 of Job chapter 1, Job stood up and tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head. And now listen to this next part. And he fell to the ground in worship. He said, "I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord." Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, governmental leaders, are now standing at the edge of the fiery furnace. And the king tells them, If you'll deny your God and if you will bow down before this image and worship me, I will not only forgive you, but I will restore you back to your place of authority. This is how they responded in chapter 3, verse 17. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, Peter and John have been thrown into prison for preaching in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 5, verse 40 says, they called the apostles in and had them beaten. Then they ordered them not to ever speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing, because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 16, verse 23, Paul and Silas have been beaten, thrown into prison in the city of Philippi. It says, after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. When you can give praise in the midst of good times and in the midst of good reports, it's good. But when you can say, as Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. When you can stand and say, God's been faithful in the past, he's seen me through other situations, he's still my God today, and he's going to see me through. When you can stand, when everyone else is given up and thrown up their hands and said, life is too hard, this isn't right, when you stand and say, I may not understand what's going on, but I know this, God is with me. He said he'd never leave me. He said he'd never fail me. That is when your faith is suddenly opened up and visible for the entire world to see. And lastly, thanksgiving brings peace to the one who is giving thanks. It is a transition that defies human logic. When you can stand in the midst of pain and still declare the praises of God, the world looks at you as if you are a religious nut. And they don't understand. They're reaching for the medicine cabinet. You're reaching for your Bible. They're heading out the door to see their doctor. And I'm not knocking doctors or medicine. But you're going on your knees in prayer. They're talking about how hard life is and how this is how difficult life is and life's not worth living. And you're talking about a God who stands beside you. When others walk through the valley of the shadow of death and they can see nothing but the darkness, and you walk through that same valley and you see the shadow, because you see that even in the midst of the valley, God's light is still shining. That is faith. Thanksgiving brings peace to the one giving thanks. Paul put it so beautifully in Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4, where he said this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And now listen to this last part, because it's in bold. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Did you catch that last phrase? When you are giving thanks, it is as if God Himself sets up a guard in front of your heart. And that guard says, oh, pain may pass by, and sorrow may pass by, and question may pass by, and fear and anxiety may pass by, but I'm guarding this heart, and even though it may pass by, I will not allow it to stay. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and guard your minds in Christ Jesus. The Greek word is phurio, and it simply means to keep with a military guard. God, in the midst of thanksgiving, God sets up a guard around your house, around your heart, around your mind, around your spirit. Earlier this week, when I was preparing today's message, I came across this. I want to read it to you as we close this morning. Count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. Count your smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count your kind deeds instead of your mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself. Join me in prayer. Lord, in just 4 days, we will be at a holiday that our nation celebrates. Lord, we celebrate it in ways that really do not give you much thanks. But I'm praying, Father, that this Thanksgiving season, that it would be a time in which we resolve in our hearts and in our lives and in our homes that we will be thankful. Even in the pain, even in the sorrow, even in the sickness, even in the grief, even in the questioning, even in the darkness, even in those situations that we did not prepare for and do not understand. Not that we'll deny them. Not that we'll take on some shallow form of being joyful in spite of. But Lord, that our roots will be settled in You. And that we will say, even as the tears roll down our cheeks, Lord, it hurts. But I'm grateful that You're with me, that You see every tear. We are so grateful to be Your children. May our hearts, not just today, not just this week, not just on Thursday, but may our hearts, Lord, be filled with thanksgiving as we declare that there's a lot of bad in the world, but God is still good. As we declare that there's a lot of pain and suffering in the world, but we still have peace. And as we declare that even in the situations we don't understand, we believe that You've set a guard around our mind and around our heart. So, Lord, we give You thanks. You have been so good. You have done so much. We give you thanks. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning.